You're listening to Island Tribe Radio with Peggy Rubenzelis and Woody Pollack, where we talk programs, parenting, and good, clean family fun. Thanks for joining us on Island Tribe Radio. This week, we continue our conversation with Alex Craighead, a PE teacher at Chautauqua Elementary. We're going to talk about screen time, getting our kids active, and get some parenting tips for getting them outside.
Today, we're interviewing Alex Craighead, and in addition to running the Journeyman organization for young men, he is also a part-time physical education teacher at Chautauqua Elementary School on Vashon Island. Did I get that right?
That is correct.
Awesome. So what I wanted to ask you about to start off with is, this is something I've been really curious about. Do PE teachers have complete control over the curriculum, or do you have like a state thing that you have to follow?
Well, that's a good question. I can speak to Vashon Island, and I know that there's quite a bit of autonomy here, being that we're a small localized school district with only one elementary school. There are state standards that we have to teach to and make sure that these students are walking away with these core set of basic skills at the end of each school year. But outside of those state standards, the way that we teach it or the curriculum that we use is totally up to us. So when I moved to Vashon 2 years ago, there was no formal curriculum to use for the PE department. Rochelle Munger, one of my old PE teachers and who has been teaching in the school district for over 20 years and recently just passed away, she had spent most of her teaching career fine-tuning and crafting this really awesome PE games and activities for the kids, but that was all created by her own imagination mostly, and not from some cookie cutter curriculum that was purchased online or anything like that. So for me, stepping in to try and fill her shoes, it was challenging to really keep everything going that she had done, because there wasn't any one kind of place where it was all kept. And because of her health issues, she wasn't able to kind of really show me a lot of what she had been doing over those years. So it was a lot of figuring it out as I go. And you know, what I tried to do was balance what was there and what was really sticking for the kids and some of those really fun traditions that she created, and to also add my own unique flavor and to make some changes as well, so that it fit my teaching style and address some of the other needs that I saw in the students here on the island.
So what's an example of, well, let's talk about, what are some of the needs that you saw with the students?
One big need, and this wasn't even just on Vashon, but I did see it here as well, is that, you know, there's a certain population of young people that love PE no matter what. They are like athletes and they play all the sorts of sports throughout the school year, right? And they come in and they're ready to go. They're going to run their hardest. They're going to play every game that we do, and they're just going to love it.
It's their favorite topic.
Right? Favorite topic. And so that, those are the, like, that's easy. Like, I can do that with my eyes closed kind of PE teaching. But like, for me, the bigger population that I wanted to focus on was the kids that were kind of self-selecting out, the ones that didn't want to get engaged in the activities or the games, the ones that felt a little shy or timid when they came into the gym. And so one of the big shifts that I tried to make was away from focusing on the traditional sports, especially for this elementary age group, instead of focusing on like football and soccer and baseball, which we do touch on some of those things, but it's not the core emphasis of what we do now. I found that we can address a lot of the skills that are needed for those sports, like overhand throw, you know, kicking a ball, striking an object like hitting or, you know, a swing in a tennis, doing those types of skills that they need without assigning it to that sport in the games and activities that we do. So nice. I use a lot of random things like pool noodles and different kind of outside the box objects for these kids to practice those same kind of skills without seeing, oh, this is a football thing and I don't like football.
Right, right.
Or this is a soccer thing and I don't play soccer, so I'm not going to do this. And so through kind of getting creative with some of those warm-up games and activities, I've found that I'm able to get a lot more buy-in from kids that would otherwise just self-select out.
Right, right.
And so that's been a big kind of goal of mine, is to try and get everybody excited about coming to PE. Because the reality is, if kids aren't finding joy and love for staying fit during that pivotal, like, you know, at early childhood and, you know, 10 years old and below. If they don't find a love for fitness at that point, then it's probably going to carry on into their adult lives.
Yeah.
And, and we see how that plays out in American culture for people that aren't getting exercise, people that aren't eating healthy. So my hope is that by the time they leave Chautauqua, they really love staying active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so many ways to do it, to stay active.
Totally.
Nice. Yeah, I was just thinking of, you know, sort of my own experience of elementary school and being one of those guys that, you know, I played baseball, but that was pretty much it. I was the sort of quintessential fat kid on campus. And so when it came to doing PE, I was just like, I don't wanna. It's heartening to hear, like, oh, actually, we're moving away from some of those things where kids already have a story, like, I don't play soccer, or I don't play football, or I don't this, or I don't that. So that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah,
totally. Yeah, because, and so I know that a lot of people look back in horror, like you might have at PE, getting chosen last, that kind of thing. And how do you handle that type of stuff with kids that maybe aren't as athletic?
I learned very quickly that if you let the kids choose partners, it gets messy and someone's feelings always get hurt. So they're always asking, can we pick our partners? And I tell them no. I don't let them do that because it gets messy. So there's like different creative ways where I can have them pick partners. Like one way I found through a mentor, a teacher of mine, she had like different colored pieces of paper and there would be like two red squares, two red circles, two red triangles, two blue squares, two, you know, and all these things. And you scatter them throughout the gym and have these different like warm-up games where they got to run, pick a color, find someone with a different shape, boom, go do some exercises together, then set them back down, go again, find someone with the same color, different shape.
Oh, yeah.
And then eventually, okay, find someone with the same color, same shape, and that's their partner. And so I can find different ways like that to get them paired up with other people so that no one's feeling left out. No one's feeling like I never get picked. And it's not like me having to choose their partner every time.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very. I want to be in your PE class. Wait, is there any other sports that you cover? Or like, I know you guys do bike safety, right?
Mm-hmm. We do bike safety for the fourth graders. And that's always Miss Bogard, Amy Bogard, who teaches that unit. And she's awesome. Her, myself, and Sarah Bunch, us three are all teaching PE this year. So we have three PE teachers at Chautauqua.
Nice.
Wow, that's so great.
Yeah.
And so what are some other like sports or activities that you cover?
Yeah. So in the beginning of the school year, the first month we focus on a lot of like a lot of recess games. So because what we've noticed is that a lot of the behavior issues at Chautauqua happen out on the playground during recess. So our hope is that we're able to give them a bunch of different games that they can engage in. So that when they go out there, there's some more structure to their play and there's not just twiddling their thumbs and ending up getting into trouble or, you know, where bullying starts to bubble up if there's not a ton of structure for them. So that's kind of the start. And then what we do is October is usually focused on team building games and cooperative games. And so really learning how to work together in pairs, learning how to work together as a class. And that helps set the stage for the rest of what we do throughout the school year. And then it gets into a lot more of like the typical stuff. We've got, you know, hockey, lacrosse, soccer, baseball, golf, pickleball, four square, wall ball.
Nice.
You name it. It's fun.
Nice. Do you do things like yoga or dance or not really?
So we don't do yoga. We do different stretches that are also yoga stretches. But we've avoided traditional yoga in a sense. And one thing that I always do to end class is we circle up every day before we end class and we just talk about what we've learned today, celebrate some kids that really showed, well, and actually I'll speak about this in just a second, but, and then final piece is we do end with mindful breaths. And so I have a singing bowl and we'll end with 3 to 5 mindful breaths, breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, and just really focusing and centering ourselves before. Because as you can imagine, PE energy is very different than what a classroom teacher wants after PE when they're trying to teach math. And so taking that time to pause and to breathe helps them be able to successfully transition back into their classroom.
Nice.
But the other thing that I was going to say, which I feel like I needed to rewind to describe, is something that we started 2 years ago when I moved to Vashon, was called the Pillar of the Month. So every month in PE, we do a pillar, which is a different value or character trait that we feel is important in PE and beyond. So cooperation, sportsmanship, challenge, so taking risk, healthy risks, empathy, persistence, those types of things. And so each month we focus on one of those words and we talk about what it means. We talk about why it's important. We show them a motivational or inspirational video, typically centered around some type of physical challenge or activity or sport that demonstrates that quality. And then throughout the rest of the month, we celebrate the kids that are showing that quality and really try and show them how important it is and why we want to do it, not only when we're playing sports and games, but how that can be helpful in the in their lives outside of PE.
And have the classroom teachers taken those pillars and use them as well, or is it something that's just in the PE?
It's a good question. I have shared it out with the school, and some teachers I know are trying to sync it up with what we do in PE, and then I think others also have their own kind of systems going right now. And there's also something at Chautauqua called Habits of Mind, which is about six words. Some of them are similar to what we use in PE, and some are different. And some felt like they would have been a stretch for us to try and have work in the PE setting, so we decided to go with what felt most appropriate for our setting.
Nice. I'm curious, Alex, because I've taught PE at the middle school, and there's always games that I gravitate or lessons that I gravitate towards, and then there are some that I avoid like the plague. And most of that is just based on my own personal preference, I've noticed. And so I'm curious, like, if right now there was a class of elementary school kids in the parking lot and you could do any game you wanted to do, like, what would be, what's your, at the top of your favorite things to do with elementary school kids list?
So it to me, it's almost a no-brainer. There's this one game that I had a high school intern 2 years ago. He was a junior in high school, and he would come over once a day for about an hour and help me out. And him and I, for kind of his final project where he was going to help teach like the lesson, co-created this game, and we called it Fortress Invasion. And it is by far the most epic PE game I've ever witnessed. And it's kind of like a combination of Capture the Flag and Medic and Dodgeball, but not Dodgeball where you're throwing it like at their head or something. It's like we've got these small little foam balls and it's only throwing at the legs. So like kids aren't getting hurt in that regard. But it's such a dynamic and complex game. They get to build fortresses out of all the blue mats in the gym. They get to rescue their friends on scooter stretchers. If kids get tagged, they got to go rescue them with the medic. It's basically like Capture the Flag, but with 10 flags on either team that they got to try and get back to their own fortress.
Wow.
And that's that's an indoor game.
Yeah.
And one that I can only play with fourth and fifth graders, any younger, and it's just total pandemonium. So half the school doesn't even know about the game. It's kind of one of those secrets that we keep for the fourth and fifth graders.
Nice.
That's wonderful. What do you think the relationship is between the epidemic of childhood obesity and PE? It's kind of a big question, but is it something you actively think about, or is it just a separate kind of thing?
Yeah, well, as a PE teacher, I'm very much aware of it and, doing my best to counteract a lot of our cultural issues around health and diet. I think it's a much bigger conversation and a much bigger undertaking than what we can address in PE, because we see the kids for 50 minutes a week, and they're supposed to be getting more, but almost every every school in Washington is struggling to provide those minutes because of funding and all the other
What are they supposed to get?
I believe they're supposed to get 100 a week.
Okay.
And I don't know of many schools in the state that are able to do that right now. And part of that comes because we are also offering so many other amazing courses and classes to kids at Vashon. So we've got art and library and music, which a lot of schools aren't getting. And so we're blessed to have that. But because there's so many offerings, they're only getting 50 minutes a week. And so that's a challenge in and of itself. But then also it's really hard to change what's happening at home. You know, yeah. We talk about the importance of diet and what we're putting into our body. And then, you know, if they're going home and just eating candy or tons of like frozen foods instead of eating, you know, organic and all that, then it's a lot of it's out of our hands. Mm. But we do our best to try and talk about different food and the impact that has on our body, to encourage healthy lifestyle outside of school and why that's important and how that can help our lives. Because for me, I remember as a student, whenever I was learning something in school, I always had to ask why, or I couldn't buy into it. Like if there was no practical reason for me to learn this skill in math or to learn this formula in science, then I felt like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And so for us, we really talk to the kids about like, well, what are the benefits of a healthy lifestyle? Mm-hmm. Oh, people are happier. They live longer. They perform better on academically, like all these things that are directly correlated to staying fit. I think are important for getting buy-in.
Yeah. Well, and you'd mentioned earlier how it's like being able to calibrate the kids to a healthy lifestyle and enjoying PE and enjoying fitness early. That has benefits that carry on through the lifespan. So cool.
Yeah. And also I think that just them like enjoying running around and the games that you play and so on is going a long way towards addressing that.
Yep. Yeah. So, totally.
Oh. I was just going to say that there's at least what I'm seeing with youth. Certainly there's still some running around and playing and riding bikes and, you know, building forts in the woods, but more and more their lives are being lived in the digital space, which doesn't necessarily encourage kids to get out and move unless it's, you know, Pokemon Go, but then they've got their screen right in front of their face, you know, going around collecting Pokemon. But I'm curious if you've seen how you guys are addressing that type of an issue with kids in the elementary school.
Yeah, it's concerning, to tell you the truth, to see how many young people have smartphones these days and the amount of time that they are on them. I asked one of my former students, she's a sixth grader this year. I just saw her uptown yesterday, and this was the third time I'd seen her in the last week. And every time I'd seen her, she was on her phone. And I was like, hey, I'm noticing a pattern here. And I asked her, I was like, I'm just curious, like, how many hours a day do you think kids in your grade spend on their phone? And she said 5 hours. She thinks 5 hours on their phone a day, which is an incredibly long amount of time. But I also heard a stat recently that said an average adult American spends 8 hours of screen time a day. And that to me is like a reminder, oh yeah, a lot of them are probably on their computer at desk jobs, things like that, but 8 hours on a screen a day. And so I think a large part of it is modeling. Like, mm-hmm. What are the adults in their lives modeling? Because I imagine there's a lot of parents out there that tell their kids to get off their phone, but then are like, yes, over here checking email at the dinner table,
person.
Right. And so we need to be accountable for ourselves to model that. But there's one tip that I actually got from some parents on the island. I don't have kids of my own yet, but so one of my students, also now a sixth grader, she was telling me last year that her parents, and when she told me this, I was just like, that's amazing. Like, I wrote it down because I thought it was great. So her and her brother always want to go home and get on the screen time, like watch TV or play video games, whatever it is they're into. And their parents have this rule that basically before they can get screen time, they have to do 30 minutes of outside time, 30 minutes of exercise, 30 minutes of reading, and 30 minutes of some kind of creative expression, whether that's drawing, painting, anything like that. So there's 2 hours of their time that is being used productively and like getting outside or getting exercise or going inward and reading before they can earn their screen time. And I love that because it was just like a routine. Like it was a simple, like, okay, you know, here's what you got to do to earn your screen time. And then sure, you can have, and I think they earned an hour of screen time with those 30 minutes.
Got it.
I love that tip. Yeah. That's how I've dealt with it in my family is to just say, to ask myself, did my kid run around today? Was she active? And if so, I'm like, okay, yeah. But I like this 30 minute, and the creative expression too is really great. So that's a really wonderful tip to leave our parents with.
Nice. So there is, I will just caution, so this student, she had also found a way to hack that system and do the reading outside while exercising. So like checking off three of the boxes in one 30-minute segment. So like, you know, it's up to the parents, but you know, right. decide if yeah. you want right. to make those separate 30-minute segments or if they can be blended into one.
Well, I have a feeling
kids will get creative.
I know. And I have a feeling that in this radio show, we'll be talking about screen a lot because it is kind of the biggest thing that is new in parenting and that we have to help our kids learn how to navigate and ourselves.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I named that recently too, just around feeling that this epidemic with technology and the addiction to it is going to be a big theme around the work that we do with young people for the ongoing future,
yeah.
the foreseeable future. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, Alex, thank you for telling us about PE. I think it's so important that that we have a good, solid PE program, and it makes me feel good knowing that our youth on Vashon are getting that kind of fun and learning as well.
So now I have a question for you, Alex, and that is in the work that you've done in Journeyman, I mean, there's a lot of that work is with youth, but there's also, you know, like you mentioned, the father-son program and that kind of deal. And for folks that are listening to this program, I'm wondering if there is a question or a conversation that you would encourage parents to have with their child, whether it's a boy or girl or non-gendered child. Is there something that is really present right now that you would encourage parents to really broach a conversation about?
Consent. I've noticed my blood boiling quite a bit over the last 2 years since a lot of the Me Too movement has come to light, and then more recently with the Brett Kavanaugh nomination. And I think, you know, it can start early, having conversations about consent, having conversations about healthy boundaries and communicating those boundaries to other people. Because I think both boys and girls don't really know how to set boundaries for themselves very well and communicate that openly. And then around the topic of consent, asking for consent. And it's, you know, just as simple as asking. And it can start as young as kindergarten, where they're talking about asking permission for things, to learn about consent before it becomes a sexual conversation. But, you know, even something as basic as like hugging. I always ask, like, can I give you a hug, or are you a hugger? Mm-hmm. Instead of just expecting or assuming that someone's comfortable giving a hug.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that conversation, that theme around consent and healthy boundaries is probably the number one thing that we should be talking about with our young people right now.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So, Alex, we wanted to ask you one thing that you like to do on Vashon.
That's a great question. Many things are popping into my mind right now. I've really come to love this place. And I feel like I'm seeing it through new eyes now as an adult. But I would say one of my favorite kind of activities that I've done on Vashon, both as a young person and now as an adult, is actually building driftwood forts at the beach.
And I love that.
We used to do that in high school, and now we do it with our Journeymen guys. And, you know, my two favorite beaches for building are either KVI or the Marine Park down on Maury, because there's just endless driftwood logs that are great for building. And it's just such a fun way to come together and hang out with other people outside, getting creative, using our hands, and just being out on the water.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for that wonderful tip. I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the work that you are doing and the other folks at the PE program at Chautauqua are doing. I think it's really valuable work for our kids.
Absolutely.
Great. All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you both for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining Peggy and Woody on Island Tribe. For more great parenting tips and information, go to voiceofvashon.org under shows and hosts and look for Island Tribe.